Okay, so the title of our study is By Faith. We're going to study the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we're going to end with the first few verses of chapter 12. We're just going to touch on the very end, on the very beginning of chapter 12. And if you're not already familiar with Hebrews 11, you may have heard of it referred to as the Hall of Faith or the Heroes of Faith. I've even heard it called the Westminster Abbey Hall of Faith. But whatever you want to call it, the men and women found in chapter 11, they accomplished great, mighty, unusual things by faith. Each week we're going to look at one or more of the characters, and characters isn't the right word. Cinderella is a character. These are actual men and women. We are going to look at one or more of them found in chapter 11. We're going to look at Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We're going to look at Moses. We're going to look at the children of Israel. We're going to look at Rahab, the harlot. We're going to look at some grisly guys who kind of sum up the end of chapter 11. But you're going to find, because we're going to look at what is attributed to them by faith in Hebrews 11, and then we're going to go and we're going to look at where they are found in Scripture, and we're going to read their account, their narrative about them. And when you look at those accounts, you might conclude that they didn't seem to have much faith. They faltered, they floundered their way through God's plan for them. But here in Hebrews 11, looking back, God only gives them credit for what they did by faith. Nowhere mentioned in Hebrews 11 is any of their lack of faith or any of their faults. God always sees us in our finished product, and we need to have hope and rest in that. But the reality of these men and women is that they were not great, and they weren't even capable of doing the great things they did. But they trusted God to do great things through them. By faith, they obeyed God. They trusted his promises and therefore could accomplish his purposes. As you study this cast of characters, and it really is just a motley crew, these men and women that we're going to look at, I want you to be looking for similarities within each one. Similarities in their actions and their responses. Similarities in what they did by faith. For example, I see a common thread of obedience with each one of them. There are many references to a promise or an inheritance. Be looking for those words. I also see some response. Some of the men and women respond to a request by God that may have seemed absolutely bizarre. Okay, guys, we're going to take this city, and this is what you're going to do. We're going to demolish this city. You're going to march around it silently for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march around it 7 times, and we're going to blow horns, and we're going to shout, and the walls are just going to come down. We're going to take this city. Got it? That's absolutely bizarre. I'm sorry. Wait. We've been training for battle, and we've got swords, and we've got weapons. Can't we fight? Nope, you're just going to walk, and the walls are going to come down. That takes an incredible amount of faith. But we're going to see, as we look, that God asked them to do some pretty unique things. Since we're talking about faith, let's talk about faith. Turn to Hebrews 11. And again, just evidence that I am really rusty. In my notes, it says, turn to Hebrews 11 and read the highlights. Well, I put the highlights in a different Bible. So, Hebrews 11, what is referred to as the Hall of Faith? In verse 4 of chapter 11, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch, who walked with God, was taken away because he had pleased God. By faith, Noah moved with godly fear. By faith, Abraham, he obeyed. He went out to a foreign land. He offered up his son as a sacrifice. He waited. By faith, Sarah was able to conceive because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, we see Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, a father, a son, and a grandson, do what God had foreordained that they would do. By faith, Joseph, made mention of what to do with his bones. Why? We're going to find out. By faith, Moses, first his parents, because they believed God and his promises, saved Noah. They were not afraid. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, he led the children of Israel through the parted Red Sea. By faith, those walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, Rahab believed in a God who was not part of her heritage and hid the spies and saved her family. And then by faith, we have all of these men and women listed in the last 8 verses of chapter 11. By faith, they did these things. And we're going to finish up on April 30th with chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I want to look there today as well, because it is here that we kind of need to start so that we have what we need as we look at all of these witnesses. In chapter 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these are the men and women that we just read through in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us, ladies, run this race with endurance. We have these witnesses, Moses and Rahab and Abraham and Noah and Sarah. They did it, and they were regular people just like you and me. And if you don't already know this, they were sinners just like you and me. And many of these witnesses, if you read their accounts, they lacked faith. It is believed that Paul is the author of Hebrews. We don't know for sure, but there's many clues within the text of Hebrews that reveal to us that Paul is the author. One of them is he equates this life with a race, and we see Paul use athletics in many of his writings. But he equates this life with a race. We're runners. We're athletes. Hey, girls, those of you who think, you know, maybe you worked out for like a week or 10 days at the beginning of January and then just kind of faltered. It happens to the best of us, but we're runners. Have you ever wanted to be a runner? We're athletes. It was Paul who said, see, Rusty, I thought I set my iPad not to go off. But it was Paul who said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul associates his life with a race and a boxing match. I fought the good fight. But he gives credit to finishing his race by faith. In previous studies, we have started with this verse. We have started with this, with the charge to finish well, as Paul claims that he did. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. He finished well. Let's commit today as we're starting, as we're looking ahead for the next 10 studies, next 9 after today. Let's commit today to finish this well. I have to tell you that every single one of our Bible studies, our women's Bible studies, ends with less, more than 50% of what we started with. So statistically speaking, half of you will be gone at about week 6. But let's commit today to finish well, to run our race with endurance and keep the faith. I believe everyone here today has faith. You all have faith. You do. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have faith. I trust you all believe in God. That required a measure of faith. You signed up for a women's Bible study. That took a measure of faith. You paid the $15. And if you slacked off a little bit, you paid $20. And that's okay. And if you paid $20, you weren't the only one. But you took a risk, and you showed up. And you have to believe. You have to believe in God to want to come to a women's Bible study at your church. So therefore, you have faith. But in order to run this race with endurance, you can't just have faith. You can't just believe. We have to live by faith. And that is the title of our study, By Faith. And have you ever asked, what is faith? What does it really mean? What is faith? I know I have. I've been a Christian since I was 6. I was a pastor's daughter, and now I'm a pastor's wife, and yet I've struggled with faith. I've struggled with the definition of faith. I've struggled with having faith. I've struggled with maintaining my faith. I've struggled in growing in my faith. So what does it really mean? What is its definition? How do I know if I have it? How do I get more? Why don't I have faith like him or like her? If God told me to build an ark because it was going to rain and I didn't know what rain was, because there was no rain before the flood and there wasn't any water around, could I do it? What if I said, that can't be the voice of the Lord? And if it is, he's insane. Could I do it with everyone laughing and making fun of me? Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right here, it is my understanding that this is the only place in Scripture where we actually have a definition of what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what is faith? It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Substance? I mean, I'm not as smart as some of you are. I know what the word substance means, I promise. But I have a hard time discerning the word substance in this context. I do. The New Living Translation gives me a better understanding of this verse. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. This is a little bit easier for me to understand. I don't like to rely on this translation, but taking the New King James Version and then looking at this gives me a better understanding of what the New King James Version is saying. It gives me confidence. Now, we have to be very careful with the word hope for. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. So we hope for many things. I really, really hope that I win the HGTV Dream Home this year. And if those of you don't know what that is, HGTV, it's the Home and Garden Television Network. Every year on New Year's Day, they reveal their dream home, and you can win it. And you don't just win the house, you win all the furniture in it and a car and $250,000 cash. This is my year. Every day I enter for 2 months. My mother was just here visiting, and I was on my phone, and I was entering in. I said, Mom, this is my year. She goes, no, it's not. It's my year. I hope my children are successful in life. I hope my grandsons never, ever move out of state. But this isn't the hope. We're talking about the hope. Confidence in what we hope for. Confidence in the hope. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it the HGTV dream home? It's not. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? This is what we hope for, the hope of Jesus, the hope of the promise. It tells us in Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And Hebrews 4:1 gives us an understanding of what that promise is, since a promise remains of entering his rest. And we're going to really get into this in lesson 8 towards the end of our study. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. We have the promise that we will enter into his rest, that we will live eternally with him. Faith is having confidence in Jesus, confidence that we will obtain the promise of eternal life and eternal rest with him. Jesus tells us in Hebrews 12:2 is the author and finisher of faith, the one we are to look to for endurance in running this race. We have an invisible God. We do. It is one of the challenges of our faith. We can't see him, but we can clearly see his attributes. They're all around. It tells us in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, us, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one is without excuse when they say, I have no faith in a God. We can look to the stars and the heavens and to the moon and the sun. We can look at his creation and know that there is a God, know that there was someone greater than us. We can look in the lives of individuals that he has changed through the power of his Son and know that he is true. We can see the accuracy of his word. Do you know to date that nothing archaeologically has disproven the word of God? Nothing? Not everything has been found yet, but nothing has disproven the word of God. And just look at Israel. What we read about of Israel, the fact that Israel is a nation today, the fact that Israel has maintained its nationality all these thousands of years is evidence that the word of God is true. We all have faith. You are here today because of faith, but are you living by faith? Among us, within the church, and I see this everywhere, especially with women, is so much insecurity, so much low self-worth, anxieties and worries. And I'm going to be very honest today, and I want us all to accept this, that our insecurities and our lack of self-worth, our anxieties and our worries truly reveal a lack of faith in our lives. We are insecure. When we are insecure, it doesn't mean that we don't have faith, because we can believe in God, but we can be freed of those insecurities and that low self-esteem by faith. When we're focused on our own unworthiness, we are not truly believing all that God has for us. We are not believing that we are who God says we are. We are like the disciples in Luke 8. My dad was here a couple weeks ago and he taught, and he uses passages of scripture. The disciples in Luke 8, they're in the boat. They've already been called by Jesus. Jesus has already called them into ministry with him. They responded to that call. That took a measure of faith. They left their livelihoods. They left what was known to them to follow Jesus. They have seen him at this point heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. But while Jesus sleeps in a boat and a storm comes up, they turn into a bunch of little girls. We're going to die. And Jesus gets up, he rebukes the wind and the waters, and they cease. And what does Jesus say to them? Where is your faith? Is the Lord asking you this today as you start this study? Where is your faith? I know you believe, you have responded to me, you've come to the women's Bible study, but where is your faith? Is he asking, do you not believe me when I tell you that you are my child? That you have been chosen and adopted and accepted, that you have been redeemed and forgiven, that you have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. All of these are coming simply from Ephesians 2, that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit and therefore guaranteed the promise of everlasting life. And God's word outside of Ephesians, not chapter 2, chapter 1, outside of chapter 1, all of the things that he tells you that you are in him. If you believe this, truly believe this, there would be no fear. There would be no lack of self-worth. But more importantly than having faith that you are who God says you are is having faith that God is who he says that he is. God is creator. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He's eternal. He is holy. There is none like him. He is sovereign. He is merciful. He is love. He is Lord. He is peace. The list goes on and on and on. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Romans 11:33 also says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You will get to know him through his word by spending time in it. Spend time in it, ladies. So you can know him, so that you can know these unsearchable riches, that you can spend the rest of your days in his word, and you will never, ever exhaust who he is. Spend time in his word so that you can trust him. Spend time in his word so that you can build faith. But not just saving faith, not faith that simply believes. Because it tells us in James 2:19, you believe that there is one God? Good job. Even the demons believe. And they tremble. Not just belief, in God, but faith that is evident. Faith that, as Jesus speaks of, if you have faith as a mustard seed, the tiniest little grain, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Faith that it talks about in James chapter 2, that a man is justified by works, not by faith only, because faith does. Faith is evident in what we do. Faith is evident in the witnesses in chapter 11 because of what they did. They obeyed. And they left a tremendous testimony for us to see and to live by. Faith says, I believe I am who you say I am because you are who you say you are. Faith says my worth is in you, not in the opinion of others. Faith says I have nothing to fear because my eternity is with you, Lord. Faith does not just believe. Faith stands on the shore of the Red Sea as Moses did, and it steps onto dry earth with all of the weight and tons of water on either side of it, with the potential to fall down and consume you. But faith takes that step and walks on the dry land to the other side because it was promised to them. God didn't just say, walk through the Red Sea. He had already told them what was on the other side, their promised land. He has already told us what is on the horizon, what is in our future, the promise of his rest. Faith doesn't just believe. It marches around a fortified city for 7 days and brings it down with a shout because victory was already promised by the Lord. Faith builds an ark on dry land. Faith counts him faithful to allow conception of a child in a 90-year-old woman because God had already promised a nation would come from her and her husband. Faith allows us to run with endurance. It allows us to finish well. And we have these witnesses to encourage us, to cheer us on, to be our example. But most important, we have Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. We look to him, and we believe, and then we get in that race, and we run. Amen.